This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Community organizing has become a valuable way for individual residents who see a problem to find their voice and work towards finding a viable solution to that problem. Coming up later this month, the Murray and Agnes Seasongood Good Government Foundation is presenting an all-day forum, The Power of Organizing, Finding Your Community's Voice. The event will feature prominent local organizers and a keynote address by Common Cause President Karen Hobart Flynn. Joining us now to talk about this and more, Common Cause President Karen Hobart Flynn and Altman Newman President and Executive Secretary of the Murray and Agnes Seasongood Good Government Foundation, David Altman. And I do want to mention the Seasongood Foundation supports Cincinnati Public Radio and Cincinnati Edition, and we greatly appreciate that support. Karen and Dave, welcome to you both.
Glad to be here.
Thank you for inviting us.
Absolutely. So for a lot of us, the term community organizer first entered our minds and lexicon during the 2008 presidential election because Barack Obama, who would go on to be elected president that year, was a community organizer previously back in Chicago. And that title drew the ire of his Republican and conservative opponents. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, who was the Republican vice presidential candidate that year, famously said at the Republican National Convention, "I guess a small town mayor is sort of like a community organizer, except that you have actual responsibilities." So do community organizers have actual responsibilities, David?
Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, they have a responsibility to stimulate a little thing we call democracy. And that is basically how democracy works. And Karen is an excellent person to talk about why this is bad, but money often covers the ears of certain elected officials. And if people aren't organized and if you don't have billions of dollars with a B these days, you may need to get organized in order to be heard. That is democracy.
Karen, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, America has a rich history of civic engagement and voluntary association. It's rooted in civic pride, commitments to the community and families, and a sense of individual responsibility to help make life better for people in a community. And so to me, being a citizen that organizes to lift the voices of families, their communities, issues that they care about is incredibly vital to a functioning democracy. Although, you know, there are many who use political ends to try and denigrate someone, you know, to me, the highest calling is one of citizen.
So what is a community organizer then? Because it's an actual job title, right? I mean, you can see these jobs posted online. What's that person tasked with? What's the job description for that person when they're applying it at any organization? David, we'll start with you.
Sure. Basically, what we want to do is introduce people in this community to the many flavors of community organizers that we have. But a community organizer isn't necessarily the civic leader. The community organizer is maybe a person with a little longer view of how the community can be more effective and can get things done and to be heard and to form, for example, coalitions. But that function is not necessarily the same as the leader that you may know from your neighborhood or from reading the newspapers.
So if you have questions or comments or examples of community organizing in your neck of the woods, give us a call at 513-419-7100. You can also email talk@wvxu.org or look us up on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets. What are some examples of people engaged in community organizing here in this community?
Yes, that's glad you asked that because we've been working for 2 years with a group of them to develop this. For example, the Homeless Coalition that you hear a lot about, the Peasley Center, Jen Summers at Peasley, Josh Spring at Homeless, They are with groups that organize. Marilyn Wall wouldn't be called a community organizer with the Sierra Club, but does a lot of organization. Mary Mismire at Communities United for Action, or CUFA, would be another example. Bill Woods at AIR Inc., which has formulated a lot of civic reform through organizing techniques, is another example. Those are just a selection. Invest in Neighborhoods isn't an organizing organization. It's an organization of organizations, but they do seem to have a deep understanding of organizing.
So you have this event scheduled for February 23rd. It's called the Community Forum. It's going to start at 9 o'clock in the morning at the Renaissance Hotel in Cincinnati. Karen, you're the keynote speaker that day to start things off. What can we expect to hear from you?
You know, I'm going to be talking about why, what value is there in organizing? What difference can it make? And how organizers can bring people together to identify common goals, to seek input from groups on the right, left, and center, and different stakeholders to see if they can talk about shared values they have and goals they want to achieve, and then work together to develop the kinds of things that they think could make a difference on the issue that they care about. So I'll probably share some examples of organizing we've done around democracy issues. Common Cause began because our founder, John Gardner, said that everybody is organized but the people, and that what we need to do is organize citizens to ensure they have a voice in their democracy. So I'll probably share some stories both from early days at Common Cause, where we organized citizens to literally pry open the halls of government in Congress and state legislatures, where committee hearings were not even held in public. There were no recorded votes taken, so you couldn't even see how your elected representatives voted. And so we organized citizens to go in and sit in these meetings, take notes and share information about what happens in these committee meetings. And eventually, we were able to move reforms to ensure that hearings in state legislatures, in city councils, and in Congress are open to the public, and that they record votes, and that people can get information. And you've seen this evolve over the years on, you know, you can go on the internet now and see what bills are being considered. You can see tallies of votes in committee and on the floor, amendments that are offered. All of this just helps people to have more information about what their elected representatives are doing. So you can apply this to issues of healthcare, of the environment, of, if people don't want to dump in their neighborhood. Those are the kinds of things we'll be talking about. Some basic tools and ideas of ways that you can be effective at organizing.
David, according to the event online, some of the areas that could be discussed as examples of roadblocks to community problem solving include exploring the topic of FC Cincinnati. Some of the topics include the cancellation of the local women's march, which we discussed on a previous edition of this program. How do you plan to incorporate some of these local elements into the day's panel discussions at the event?
Well, we're going to have some of the representatives who are affected by this and these examples, but we're not going to get bogged down in the past. It's just that those are examples of, for example, a community often hears about a development, whether it likes it or doesn't like it, too late to do anything about it. And there's a lot of people, it's a common issue, there's a lot of people that think maybe something should be done about that. But here's the other piece of this. We're trying to attract people who we can ask, what is it that's of concern to you, and to grow the future agenda, not just philanthropy, but a civic agenda of this community, by trying to deal with some of those issues through probably supplying some organizing help.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about community organizing in an upcoming event. Joining us today are Common Cause President Karen Hobart Flynn and Altman Newman President and Executive Secretary of the Murray and Agnes Seasongood Good Government Foundation, David Altman. Thanks again to you both for being here. And building on that last comment, David, part of the reason that communities often learn about developments after the fact has a lot to do probably with the evolving media landscape. It's another area that will be discussed at your event on Saturday the 23rd, how to utilize media and attaining social justice. So that's an area where my profession is going to be discussed, and I've also been questioned whether I have any actual responsibility, so I can relate to community organizers on that standpoint. We have an interesting media landscape. Traditional media outlets are struggling to stay on top of the news of the day. New media outlets are struggling to find their way, and yet individuals and organizations have unprecedented access to an audience through their own online social media outlets. So what are some of the best practices that people like you or people like Karen and other community organizers can use to stay ahead of stories and to impact journalism? And we'll hear from both of you on that, starting with David.
Yes. We've got in town already Jeff Blevins, who is a super he's writing a book, actually, on this very topic. And he's going to share some of his information with us. But the biggest failures, I think, to organize and of people who would like to organize are not knowing how to explain to the regular daily media their problem, or ignoring the media, not letting them know. Now, the media, on the other hand, has to be sensitized to the reason that some of these things may actually be news, or the fact that this community is being blindsided may be the news story. But we don't do enough coverage of that, but it's a two-way street. The media has to be sensitized, and also people have to know how to do it. And the community organizer should know how at least to approach the media and know what alternatives there are. For example, if you're trying to get across a problem to city government and you're not getting anywhere with city officials, to pick on a city for a minute, I have found it amazing over the years when those city officials read about the thing you wanted to tell them about in the paper, they all of a sudden want to talk to you. And that, sadly or wonderfully, is the way it works. And you don't always have to think about beating your head against a brick wall for 50, 100, 150 days. Sometimes a well-placed article that explains through written by a good journalist can do a lot for your organization. All you got to do is find a good journalist and a journal that's willing to give vent to that issue.
And Karen, what do you think are some of the best practices people like you and other community organizers can use?
Well, you know, I agree with Dave, and I also think finding concrete examples of people who are affected by whatever issue you're talking about. One way, you know, reporters like to talk to real people and illustrate the problem that you're talking about. And so if you have good examples, not only can it have impact and make it more likely that you could get coverage in a newspaper or on radio, but also it can bring more people into supporting whatever effort you have. So it can be a great way to publicize what you're working on and gather more activists who want to be involved in the issue, as well as being able to help you reach the city council members that you're trying to reach or others. I mean, we work on a broad set of democracy issues at Common Cause, so transparency and disclosure and other things. And I have always found that reporters are often allies in that. There may be challenges with an institution, the state legislature, around information about some of the work that they're doing, and we often share concerns about freedom of information requests so that we are getting timely responses and know more about what's happening in our government. Reporters often use the tool of a freedom of information request to get information. And so you may find that, you can find some common ground with reporters around some of the same kinds of issues. So that can be really helpful. People often think you need to have a press conference to get attention, but the truth is sitting at, down and talking to a reporter about the issue, sending them information clips, inviting them to events that you're hosting, all of those things can help you get information out there about what you're working on.
So we live in this age where there are a lot of keyboard warriors, people who have strong opinions about one topic or another, and they sound off aggressively online, but they're not actually involved in any tangible way. So I read in preparation for this segment that a community organizer should have a relationship with those people who are most affected by one issue or another, and they should work to build relationships between different groups. So how does one avoid being a keyboard warrior and actually getting out there and building those relationships, David?
Well, that's one of the reasons we're having the day. I actually think it doesn't start with the organizer. It starts with the community and the need. Then the community with the need may need the help of the organizer. And then the question an organizer, a good organizer, will ask is, how do you know this is what the community needs? Do you really have – is there a consensus in the community? And the good organizer will teach how to do the outreach. And then a good organizer will say, how do you then break down what you think your issue is into something that can be understood? And a great example of that that actually happened here in Cincinnati, although long ago, was that there was a lot of concern in the early 70s about the drug issue. And it often got articulated into, is marijuana good or bad? A question that isn't being as asked quite as fervently today as it was back then. And then it was discovered because of some organizing that was going on here in Cincinnati that, yeah, that's – I don't know the answer to that issue, but heroin addicts, which is a different end of the spectrum, have nowhere to go in Cincinnati if they want to kick themselves. There is literally nowhere. That became a consensus issue and for over 2.5 years became a driver for a program that dealt with over 750 hardcore heroin addicts. So the process of organizing, you may start out one place and by building a consensus and understanding, wind up another. That's good organizing and that's where the organizer can help.
And building on that, Karen, once you're out in the field, how do you win over skeptics, people who may question your motives on an issue or who may not be naturally prone to being engaged in creating change in a community? How do you win them over?
You know, I think actually one of the best ways is face-to-face discussion. I think you're right that we have seen more and more people, engaging online and not talking to people face-to-face. One, it fosters demonizing the other side, trying to one each other up with, you know, snarky comments online. Meeting someone face-to-face and connecting to them and their values and getting to know them can make a huge difference. It can make a huge difference in building relationship, and it may be you might not agree on the one issue that you're talking about, but as you talk to them and build a relationship, you may be able to move them on another issue and be able to work with them. I think that it is so important to hear people and what their concerns are. Many times they can be they can have some valid points that could help you in the work that you're doing, strengthening your solutions that you're thinking about. So I believe that we've seen clicktivism, people engaged by sending emails and other things. One of the challenges with that kind of work is it may be that you're sending it to a city council member, a state legislator that has no staff to read your email. So you're essentially talking to yourself. So I think it's important in trying to move solutions in your community to be organizing, working with other allies and coalition, and meeting people face-to-face to talk through and build consensus around solutions.
The Murray and Agnes Seasongood Good Government Foundation, according to its website, is devoted to the causes of good local government, the merit system in selecting public employees, and citizen participation in public affairs. I think two of those ideals seem pretty self-explanatory, David, but how would you define good local government?
Well, good local government is government that responds to people and professionally solves problems, whether it's landslides that close our roads, or whether it's potholes, or whether it's the sewers, or whether it's the air that you breathe.
Because, I can tell you've been outside today.
Yeah, I have been. I've also been an environmental lawyer for 44 years.
That probably helps too.
So anyway, and good government has a meaning that was developed here in this city, first by the reform mayor, a guy named Murray Seasongood.
Yeah.
And he started the charter that form a government here that defined good government. And I think to this day, at least in theory, we still have a charter form of government, a manager, a city council, and that's the basis, the bones on which you then create good government. But you cannot have good government if only moneyed interests have access to the decision makers.
So before I let you all go here in our final minute, I want you, David, to tell us a little bit more. Who is Murray Seasongood? He has a pretty significant role in Cincinnati politics, as you started to reference there.
Well, I only knew Murray from 90 to 104, and he lived to be 104.
Yeah.
And he was a great lawyer, a wonderful philanthropist. But he said, and was quick to say, and it was really true, his best boss was Agnes. And the two of them were dynamos on many fronts in this city. And their generosity led to the creation of this fund. And what I helped them do as a young lawyer was to preview how it would work after they passed away. And that was 44 years ago, and it's been a great honor to help give away their money all this time.
I'm sure that you've made them proud. The Murray and Agnes Seasongood Good Government Foundation presents The Power of Organizing, Finding Your Community's Voice on Saturday, February 23rd. You can find more information on that at WVXU.org. Common Cause President Karen Hulbert Flynn and Altman Newman, President and Executive Secretary of the Murray and Agnes Seasongood Good Government Foundation, David Altman. Thank you both for joining us this afternoon. And we again want to thank the Seasongood Foundation for its support of Cincinnati Public Radio and Cincinnati Edition. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition here on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Michael Monks.